Karen C. from D.C.
Take them out, Karen.
Good morning, I'm Karen. I'm an addict.
Hey, Karen.
Let me say this quick. I have never done this before. So, and I'd probably be a fake and a phony if I didn't cry, because that's who I am. I can't help it. But I'm so glad that some people that I see on a daily basis in meetings are here to help me just be myself. You know, I'm going to do the best I can with traditions 1, 2, and 3. I thought I was pretty much doing 3. And I've been doing a lot of reading. And, you know, I'm sorry, that stuff went out the door. I've said a prayer, and I'm going to try to get through this. I'm an addict. And let me say this, too. You know, we're here at the convention. And I always get in touch with some gratitude when I'm at a convention, because I'm the addict that uses at conventions and stuff.
Sure.
You know, it's a blessing. I ain't in my room geeking. It is a blessing that I woke up and, I wouldn't have went to sleep if I had a hip laugh anyway. But, this mess feels good. I am a chronic relapser. I'm a chronic relapser. I came to this fellowship in 1986. What year is it now? 2007, and I'm coming up on 6 years. But y'all know, it was not me. Tradition 1, our common welfare comes first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. I could not have recovered by myself. There is no way. And first, let me put something in front of y'all, which is God. Because, see, y'all wasn't at home with me at the end this time. You know, when I was coming to meetings religiously with crack in my pocket, y'all asked that I leave it outside the door and come on back. I ain't do that, but I kept coming. I kept coming with crack in my pocket. And, at the end this time, I would go to meetings. I would go to work. I would keep my daughter clean. Matter of fact, she was cleaner now than she was than she is now. Because, see, I was on it. And I wanted y'all to believe that I was okay. So if my daughter's hair was combed and her clothes were clean and she was on time for school, that meant, you know, to y'all that I was okay. And I came to meetings because by now I'm connected and I had to show up. I could not show up for meeting because y'all would think I was using again. But some of y'all knew I was using again anyway. And if you pulled me on the side and said, Karen, how long have you been clean? It was always yesterday, 2 days ago. One thing or not yet for me is lying about my clean time. I never lied about my clean time. And even though I used at that convention, I thought Narcotics Anonymous was going to throw me out. I thought that was a secret that I would die and go to hell with. And you know, they say share it because somebody else has already done that. I wasn't unique. If anybody else in here has used at a convention, please, for identification, let me know after the meeting, right? Because I shared it, I let it go, and nobody yet has said, Karen, I've used at the convention. Anyway, I got here in 1986, and basically I kept coming back. I was 19 years old and really didn't believe I had a problem with drugs. I believed I did it too much, but there was a way for you to do it. At 19, this is what my mind said. There was a way for you to smoke crack, and it wasn't even called crack then. It was called freebasing. They told me I thought that there was a way that you could use safely and still go to work, not spend all your money, and not trip. I just hadn't found it yet. So I came to these rooms called Narcotics Anonymous in the hope that I would find a way to safely use. Now, I'm a get with nitwit. So y'all told me to say I was an addict. I used to raise my hand. Hey, I'm Karen. I'm an addict. If I was in the AA meeting, hey, Karen, I'm an alcoholic. I ain't never drank nothing either. I'm Karen. I'm an alcoholic. I did what I had to do. And by now, I'm starting to go through a lot of treatments. Most of my treatments that I went through, some of them would vote you most likely to succeed. I was a conformist. I was always voted most likely to succeed, most likely to never use again, because I went in there and I did what they were supposed to do. I did everything those people told me to do, and I was voted most likely to succeed. Well, I mean, treatment after treatment, I was out 5 days, 5 hours, 6 days, a week, a month, and I'd always go back to using. But I kept coming back. I kept coming back. You know, the third tradition talks about desire. And it talks about desire being immeasurable. That we can't judge or measure another's desire to stay clean. After many, many years of in and out, even after I accepted the fact that I was an addict and there was no safe way to use, I didn't stop. You know, the last relapse I had, I remember somebody coming up to me and they said, Karen, why did you use? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what happened. And they told me, I know what happened. They said, you use because you wanted to use. So I went off, and if you ask me, Karen, why did you use? I'd say, I use because I wanted to use. But you know how you mimic something? And it really ain't the truth. You feel it in your gut that wasn't the truth. You know, the last time I smoked, I was using against my will. My will was not to smoke crack. And I remember the look on my mother's face, because I had gotten, by now, I was starting to have longer bouts of clean time. And I, you know, one time I stayed clean 2 years. I was like, oh my gosh. I was living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. I had a sponsor. I was working steps. I was in service. I was doing everything that y'all told me to do. I had just left a meeting. I didn't know I had a reservation, still don't. I left a meeting. I'm talking about some stuff that has happened that's indescribable. You can't figure it out. They say it's cunning. That means it will fool you. It will make you believe some stuff that ain't even, you know. So I don't even try to figure it out, but what I do is share my experience, my strength, and my hope. And I leave it open so that, you know, y'all gave me this open-mindedness, right? That if I come to another level of awareness, I'm going to come up here and share that too. You know, I'm sharing it in the raw, the way it happened for me. It was something wrong when I was walking around saying I used because I wanted to use. It didn't feel right that time. That wasn't the truth. When I got in touch with the truth, I don't know what the heck happened. I don't even care. The last night that I used, I was sitting on the side of my bed as I had done for the last several months of my addiction. I had been to a meeting. I had been to work. I had the basic text, the AA big book, that's a part of my story, and the Bible. I take a hit. I'd read a page out of the basic text. a page out of the AA Big Book, and a page out of the Bible. And I'd take another hit. I'd read a page out of the Basic Text, a page out of the Bible, and a page out of the AA Big Book. And I did this. I did not know my last day using was my last. I didn't plan it. And you know what? I didn't even think my last day using was my last, because I didn't have one of them stories where I walked through 12 feet of snow with no shoes on to detox. So I'm thinking now I can't get clean. I can't get clean. But thank God, by now I had been around here 17, 18 years, and I kept coming back. And it was the power of the group that held me together, because it was some individuals that gave me some shit that really they ain't even know about. And it wasn't newcomers. It wasn't nobody with 30 days telling me I used because I wanted to use. It was people that hadn't even experienced relapse. And guess what? You don't have to. I done smoked enough crack for everybody in this room. You don't ever have to use again. Just get with me, please. Dang. But, you know, and then I started to feel like, damn, you know, I just ain't never gonna get clean. I wanted it so bad. I wanted it like my next breath of fresh air, but it wasn't happening for me. I wish y'all could, even with my mother looking at me with those hurtful eyes, saying, "You love that shit." And I was like, "No, I don't. I don't like stealing. I don't like lying. I don't like tricking. All of those fun things that come along with using. I don't like none of that." And you know what? I think the tricking was probably the worst piece. And I told my husband this, and he'd be like, "Karen, I don't need to hear everything." I'm like, "Sorry, boo. It's a part of my story. I don't trick today. I haven't tricked in a long time. I haven't sucked one that I ain't want to in a long time." It's a beautiful thing that you got choices, because the tricking piece was one of the worst things in the world when you just praying he hurry up so you can take a hit. I mean, you just, oh gosh. These are the things that drove me, that fanned my desire to stop using even more. I had it long time ago, but it took me a minute. It took me a long minute. Man, some things are just not explainable. They got the hat to go in the bag that says miracle. I am a miracle. I cannot tell y'all how I'm standing here clean. And nothing that I know of is wrong with me. I've been shot at. How did the two bullets go through the window and shatter all that stuff and land in the door with my big head right there? How? How did I jump out of the car and the only thing that was messed up was my tooth? A moving car at 50, 60 miles an hour. You know, I don't know. Some things are unexplainable, but I guess God cleaned me up for a reason. Talking about desire, I'm fighting another addiction. It's to cigarettes. And I try to share as honestly as I possibly can. And even with that battle, I've had people tell me, "You don't really want to stop." I'm like, bullshit. I'm caught up in the grip. Y'all hear me sitting there coughing? All that phlegm in my throat. I want to stop. I wish you could cut me open and see that I don't want to smoke cigarettes no more. Now, I heard there's some Smokers Anonymous meetings. Oh, well, I guess I need to seek one out, because if they unite like we do here in Narcotics Anonymous, I believe I'll be on the SA circuit in a minute. Smokers Anonymous circuit, you know, sharing my experience, my strength, and my hope. And the only requirement for membership is a desire. Didn't say the requirement was to come in minus the crack. You could still come. We asked that you take your crack out, but you didn't have to, because I didn't, but I kept coming. Thank God. Man, the only requirement. So I was a member of Narcotics Anonymous long time ago, and I'm eternally grateful to each and every one of you that make up the big picture, because the unity thing, man, I can't recover by myself. I can't do this without you. And daggone it, I got a sponsor, and she's awesome, but I can't just recover with her. Me and her can't ride off into the sunset talking about, we got this thing, it's just me and you, boo. No. We got to come in here and be a part of a whole. We got to come in here and be a part of a whole. And you know, service is so important. I started off in service again, because I wasn't trying to leave no stone unturned. I think I might have messed around and got a year clean. Don't ask me how. The grace of God. I messed around and I stayed clean a year, and then I got on a committee with my sponsor, a big, big convention committee, and we was meeting every week, and you know, I was dragging the kids, and I ain't care, I was just happy, and I had to do this, and I, you know, I was willing to go to any length. Willing to go to any length to stay clean, and I did the daggone thing, but as you stay in this process, and thank God for sponsorship, because she told me, she said, Karen, shit gonna change. You're not gonna be able to go to 4 meetings a day. I was obsessive. Anything I like, I do a lot of it. I did a lot of crack. I did a lot of meetings. And she said, there's gonna come a time. And sure enough, there came a time. But I'm not one of those ones that you know, go to a meeting here. I go to meetings on a regular basis. I use crack on a regular basis. The trade-off is not bad for me. An hour and a half is just a chance, just a small, minute chance that I never, ever, ever, never, ever got to smoke crack again. It's worth it to me. It's worth it. And furthermore, I enjoy y'all. Even when you go to meetings and you don't feel like it, it's just something about y'all. That's why I kept coming back when I, you know, early on. It's just something about y'all. So, you know, y'all keep my desire to want to stay here strong. And I'm just ecstatic that somebody saw something in me to ask me to share at a convention. I was really, really scared. I still am, because I had never done this before. I'm like, do we have to tape? And, you know, all that stuff, because I may say something that I didn't mean to say, and I'm like, damn, I said that. And I've had people do it to me in meetings, come and say, you know you shared. I'm like, oh, I did. But I prayed and asked God to kind of guide my heart and guide my words. And again, I'm immensely, eternally grateful first to God for allowing me to stand here, and then to y'all. I don't know if I touched on traditions 1, 2, and 3, but it's just great. I'm an addict. My name is Karen. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, for our next speaker, we'll have David Dixon out of South Potomac, Maryland.
Let's go, David.
My name is David. I'm an addict. It's good to be in a meeting. It's definitely good to be clean. And it's good, like Karen shared, how somebody could ask you, you know, to come and share your experience, strength, and hope when you don't even feel like you're worthy to stand in front of a bunch of people who don't even know you and to share your experience, strength, and hope because I don't know if this is a setup or not, Karen, but her and my stories are so parallel. You know, these are two chronic relapses that when we look in the mirror, we see a miracle today. You know, when I came to the program, I'm like, Karen, I came in the late 80s. You know what I mean? You know, we had just got off the freebase. Track was cheap. You know, we bought as much of it as we could. You know, we smoked as much of it as we could. You know, everybody had it. You know, packages galore. You know, it was the fast life. And it wasn't that much that bad. You know, but our literature tells us when the euphoric side of addiction wears off, then we see the ugly side. And in that ugly side, a lot of things happen. You know, I really started off, really had aspirations to be that guy in that big white ivory tower with his back towards the room and a bunch of men in suits stream in and out of the room, whispering in my ear, and I either nod or I turn my head no, and they walk out of the room. I wanted to have power. I wanted to be respected. I wanted to have power. I was a legend in my own mind. You know what I mean? Because of crack and boat and powder cane and weed and liquor, you know, I never got to that point. You know, always came close, but never always aborted the mission because I wanted to use more than I wanted to go after those things. So just to stand up here in front of y'all, man, and just, you know, reflect back to that legend that I thought I was, what do you call them, delusions of grandeur that I had about my life. You know, the life I'm living right now, the life I got, doesn't resemble no way, shape, or form the life I thought I should have. And that's good because God got something for each and every one of us that we didn't ever plan for. God got us right here. Walking this walk we're walking. We didn't even know we were going to be walking this walk. But he knew way, way back when. And that's why them bullets didn't hit you, Karen. You know, that's why them knife fights, when he had a knife and I didn't. You know what I mean? I got scars to prove, but I never died. You know, that's why when those cars that I flipped, you know, I done totaled 4 or 5 vehicles, never got a scratch. Never got a show. Why is that? Why is that? Because God had me long before I even recognized who he was and what he was going to do in my life and how he was going to clean me up for this program called Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm just like a lot of us, man. When you first come in here, it says in the literature, we don't come in here brimming with love, honesty, willingness, open-mindedness, integrity, tolerance. We don't come in here like that because we're mad. We got the disease of addiction, that incurable, cunning, baffling, mysterious, the psychiatrist, because I did go to 10 different treatment centers. Let me make that plain. I'm not no overnight sensation. I've been here for a long time bullshitting, for real. I sit on couches. I go to psych wards. You know what I'm saying? I'm a day room dude. I sit in there and I help the instructor teach the rehab class because I've been there so much. I'm telling you, man, I can tell you what addiction is. He said addiction is a biogenetic hereditary disorder characterized by severe and unpredictable behavior patterns that causes life-affecting consequences in every area of your life. That's what addiction is. And that's what it did to me. So I make no mistake, man. 7 years into the process this time, you know, coming in the late 80s and now got 7 years. Now, I make no mistake, man. This is where my life ended up. And this is where it needs to stay. Because I don't do very well without the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't do nothing well without the program of Narcotics Anonymous. When I want to go conquer the world, I go to a meeting first. That's what I have to do for me. And like we always say, we come in here a lot of different ways. We come in here a lot of different walks of life, man. But diversity is our strength, ladies and gentlemen. It's the strength that we built this grand fellowship on. Think about it. If everybody came in here the same, you know what I mean? Come on. How boring would that be? The literature already told us we need to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. So we like different people from different walks of life, different conversations, different ways of dressing. So
Diversity is really our strength. And on the first tradition, it talks about our common welfare coming first. Personal recovery depends on innate unity. Well, guess what? Innate unity depends on personal recovery. When you think about it, if everybody in this room didn't want their personal recovery, and everybody in a fellowship didn't want their personal recovery, where would Narcotics Anonymous be? I mean, we learned from the world a couple years ago that Narcotics Anonymous is in 121 countries, and there are 161,000 meetings worldwide. This is a global movement. This ain't just something that we just made up in this city, in this town. This is a grand movement of global proportion, ladies and gentlemen. Narcotics Anonymous is it for a lot of us. Now, there's a lot of people that find other ways to recover, and I tried those ways, but Narcotics Anonymous is real simple. It's pure. You know what I mean? The unity piece in the first tradition, man, is real key, man, because we got to stick together, y'all. We got to stick together. We don't got to love each other. We don't got to like each other. We ain't never going to be holding arm in arm and singing kumbaya and loving and kissing and hugging every single day. No. But we do have to respect each and every one of us has a right to recover. They have a right to recover on their own time. They have a right to recover in their own way. And everybody needs to respect that unity. There's no right or wrong way to recover. Yes, that's the literature. Yes. And we, our common welfare is the first thing smoking. We need to look out for one another. I know it sounds like pie in the sky. I know sometimes I don't even believe it, because you go to your home group and people grit on each other. You go to your home group, people talking about what somebody said in a meeting last week. You know, you share something of a personal nature and it beats you home. Still see the unity, y'all. Still see the unity, no matter what they're saying about you. Still see the unity. In the second tradition, it talks about an ultimate authority being a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They don't govern. And you know why they say thank God? Because a lot of people come to the program of Narcotics Anonymous thinking they presidents, administrators, CEOs, managers. You need to leave that at the door when you come in here. When you a member, third says your only requirement is the desire to stop using. There's no first, second, third class membership in Narcotics Anonymous. The only desire is stop using. So when group members become a treasurer and try to hog all the money, don't want to get no money to area service, don't want to donate to prudent reserve, thinking that's their money? What are they thinking about? What tradition are they practicing? You know, when people want to call all their friends over for the business meeting to get voted in for a position, where's the unity in that? Where's the common welfare in that? I don't see it. Do any of y'all see that? I don't see it. I don't think so. So we got to always constantly be reminded that unity and welfare is first. We don't govern. You know, we can't govern. How can we be governed? This is a non-residential, voluntary, self-help organization. How can it be governable? How can you be governed of somebody that's voluntary? And we helping ourselves. And we not locked away in inpatient treatment. So some people that are around here in this fellowship that think they governing somebody, they better get into these traditions. A lot of people don't respect the traditions. What do they say? The traditions keep us safe from each other. It keeps our groups running, carrying a primary message of recovery. It keeps us from fighting each other and doing our own, having our own groups and doing what we want to do. This is traditionally how recovery is supposed to go. And of course, the third tradition talks about our membership requirement. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Please, don't let the group be a jury of your desire. How can a group judge whether or not you got desire to stay clean? The desire to stay clean rests with each and every one of us. You know you messing up. You know you, David. You've been to treatment 10 times. You've been to 4 or 5 detoxes. You done flipped over cars. You done ended up in hospital rooms with collapsed lung, heart attack, mild heart attack, the whole right side of your body paralyzed from smoking crack. How bad does it have to be for you want to get better, David? That's the question I had to ask myself. In the end, I was 35. I'm hanging with people half my age on a regular basis because I wanted to recapture the days of my youth. They was long gone. I was on the ugly side of addiction. Those days were over. I didn't want to accept them. Even now, when I'm driving along after coming from a meeting, I still think about how I used to be. I still think about the friends that I lost. I still think about how today's music ain't like it used to be. It seemed like we had better music, but hey, that's a generational thing. You know that desire though. We fan the desire. Just like Jan's over there fanning, we fan that desire, that flame of desire to keep on going in the process. That dedication got to follow that desire. That commitment has to follow that dedication. So we have our desire, we become committed and dedicated, and we recover. One day at a time, one addict at a time, we recover together. So no longer can we sit on the old excuses, oh, it was them, not me. No longer can we look at other people for the reason why we are who we are. We are who we are because God made us the way we are. It's our task through the steps, through meetings, through our groups to find out who we are and to be that person no matter what it is. This is the only place I know where that unity piece is for real as opposed to some other organizations I know of where you got to have some money to get in. Where you gotta have a certain kind of degree to get in. Where you gotta have a certain kind of skin color to get in. This is the only place I know we'll take everybody. No matter how dirty you are, no matter how broke you are, no matter how silly you are, no matter what, we'll take you just as you are. And if you can't do the one thing that we ask you to do completely, which is we believe in complete abstinence, complete abstinence. That means not using come first. We'll take you anyway, even if you mess that up. Where else on earth do y'all know that a place like this exists for people like us? Y'all know what they used to do in the past. They used to lock us up in an attic somewhere and throw away the key. Put us in psych wards and straitjackets and let us die in our own vomit. Speaking of our own vomit, being a chronic relapser, that's what it means to me today. It used to mean taking a break from y'all, but relapsing means like a dog going back to my own vomit, to suck up my own vomit. That's what relapsing means. That's why I detest it. And I detest this disease when I see it in my friends and people in my home group that keep going in and out. A lot of my friends say, how can you feel that way, David? That's where you came from. I said, that's because that's how I know. That is where I came from. And I know that all I had to do was stand up, raise my hand, open your mouth. Man, you can't get fed if you don't open your mouth. How we going to know you hurting? How we going to know are you hurting? How we going to know what's wrong with you? How we even going to know who you are? I mean, unity is the key and desire is the basis of it. But guess what? When you come into our rooms, and you don't say nothing, you don't stick around for the meeting after the meeting, or even come early for the meeting before the meeting, we don't know you. We're going to give you a hug. We're going to give you a phone book. We're going to tell you to call us, but we got to get to know you. You got to open up. Get one person. Talk to that one person. Then meet his friend. Then ask the dude to coffee maker at your home group. You know, a person without a home group is an addict without a home. If you ain't got no home, you isolating. If you isolating, what you doing? You setting yourself up to go back out. Well, the walls close in on addicts who isolate. I don't know about y'all, but the walls was closing in on me. Whenever I used to get my little 3-month, 6-month chip, and I'd be like, okay, now that's enough of this. They're saying the same thing every time you go to the meeting. I see the same people every time I go to the meeting. And he says hi the same way. They hug the same way. What in the hell is this? I need something different. I'm going to get me some Coke. And like that's different. Come on, Jan. Like that's different. That's the same misery. That's the same. But I'd rather suffer the monotony and the repetitive nature of meetings, because guess what we don't see? God is working behind the scenes. He's making us grow. We're developing. Our lives are getting back in order. Our families are getting back in our lives. We don't even think the same way we used to. We don't even respond to the same things that we used to go through. You know what I mean? This is where it's at. And a lot of times, man, I don't understand it. I used to understand it. I thought I did. But a lot of times, I don't understand why we don't think this is it. You know, Karen shared it. What's 60 minutes to 90 minutes out of your day for a lifetime of change? What is that? That's a small price to pay, and it's free. You know, it's given away free. Speaking of something that's given away free, going back to the second edition, we talk about our leaders are trusted servants, they don't govern. How can somebody feel like they own this program and it's given away free? Ain't that something? You feel like you own this program because somebody made you the treasurer and let you hold the money. Somebody made you a chairman and let you get speakers to come to our groups. And you feel like you own something? So you feel like you can tell some newcomers some stuff, some old timers, you can tell them they don't know how it works? Man, we got to stay humble, man. Humility is the key. You know what humility is for me? Humility is understanding my strengths and my weaknesses and being okay with that and fitting myself to my place in this process. Everybody got a place in this process. Everybody got something to offer. That's what we said. Personal recovery depends on NA unity, and NA unity depends on personal recovery. So if everybody was to work on their personal recovery, it would build up the unity in the fellowship. If everybody was to mind their own business and concentrate on what they need to be looking at, we would be a fellowship, man, of powerful proportions. People would be really getting free in here. But we still have some people that have control issues. They didn't get to hit the flip. You know what I mean? They didn't get to roll first. You know, when they was puff passing, they was the last one getting the puff. So when they got clean and come and knock on the door, they want to run something. We don't let nobody come in here and run nothing. Our groups work on a democratic process, not political or government, but we take a group conscience and we pray first. We pray to that God who's the ultimate authority of everything. He's the ultimate authority of this program. We pray to him first. And then we go around the group and we say, hey, what y'all think? Y'all like this? They'll say no, or they'll say yeah, or some people abstain. And whatever the conscience of the group is, that's what we go with. We don't go with group opinion. We don't go with popularity in the group. We do, but we ain't supposed to. We need to look at that. We really need to take a look at that. We do, but we're not supposed to. You know what I mean? If y'all say you got to come to two business meetings before you can come get your anniversary, that's what it should be. Certain people shouldn't be allowed because of their status. How you going to have status in an anonymous program, a 12-step self-help volunteer program like Knock College? How you going to have status? If that's where you gain your status from, then you was one low expectation having... Come on. You can't gain no status from here. Anonymity tells us we all the same. The only requirement for membership tells us we all the same. How you going to have status in an anonymous program? Anonymous means unknown. We're just addicts trying to get clean one day at a time. Where does this status come from? Well, It just behooves me to say something about that, because I come from a strong home group where they don't play. It's a 12-step, 12 tradition, non-smoking, 90-meeting that meets every Sunday at 7 p.m. to 8:30 at Bethany Lutheran Church, right at Silver Hill, Pennsylvania Avenue. It's called Closed Sunday. So if y'all want some, you know, recovery and y'all ain't doing it on Sunday night, just come on through and check us out. You know, we got open arms for you. And what's real special about our group, talking about traditions now, bringing people in, we need the last 10 minutes for the newcomer. A newcomer is anybody, to our group conscience says, a newcomer is anybody with less than a year clean. How many places you know let newcomers with less than a year clean reserve time at a meeting? Sometimes, some people from the old days and our hardcore days, they tell them to shut up. Get us after the meeting. Call us. Go meet me at a meeting somewhere and I'll meet you there. And if you show up, that means you want it. If I'm not going to show up though, but you know what I mean? But at our home group, we let the newcomer get it off. The last 10 minutes, they can get it off. They can do what they need to do and they can go on with the rest of their life. The last thing that I wanted to say was, you know, over the course of these 7 years, man, I really, really have been doing a lot of soul searching. You know, I'm really just like waking up. You know, it's like I've been asleep for a long time. It's like y'all been at the party and I just decided to come and really show up and really be in the process of recovery. And for whatever reason, man, I just feel like I owe all of y'all an apology because y'all are members of this fellowship. And I owe y'all an apology for all the years that I poke holes in people's stories. For all the years I came late, left early. For all the years that I've taken newcomers out of meetings and gotten high with them. That's real. I don't live like that no more. I'm sold out to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. The program of Narcotics Anonymous has given me my life back. I'm not gonna sit up here and tell you everything in my life I've gotten as a result of Narcotics Anonymous because I had to do some work. You gotta do some work. When people say everything I have in my life I've got from Narcotics Anonymous, don't think they just went to meetings and it happened. I think a lot of people got a misconception that if I go to 2 or 3 meetings a day, that something's going to happen in my personal life better than what it was when I was using. The truth of the matter is you got to do some work on your own. Narcotics Anonymous is a great starting place. It's a great support group. It's a great place to get some help. It's a tool for your life. But the reality of it is just going to meetings and praying and talking to your sponsor and getting your network and fellowshipping and service is not really going to make your life a whole lot better. Somebody needs to know that. It doesn't work. Just like being clean, getting clean and recovery, it doesn't work by osmosis. Just going to meetings and getting that productive way of life and meaningful life doesn't work just by going to meetings. So I thought I'd just drop that out there because a lot of times we keep saying recovery, Narcotics Anonymous is giving me everything I got. And the reality of it is Narcotics Anonymous is a tool that helps me to get everything I got. I got to get out there and do some work. I can't no longer sit on the sidelines and have that self-pity about what happened in my life, what I didn't get out of my life, what didn't go right in my life, because that's what I do a lot of times. I still have my little pity parties. I still look down, look up, look around at people who didn't use, same age as me, doing good, or people who used and stopped on their own and doing good. And I look at myself, and I got to go to my meetings. I got to identify as being an addict. And I lost a lot of opportunities that I could have had or should have had. But that's still a lie, because what God's got for me, He's got for me. And my day is coming. My time is coming. I'm going to stay this course, stay this process. Come hell or high water, I already know what's on the other side. It's nothing out there for me anymore. It's no time for me to turn back or look back. I've done all that I could do on that other side. Trust me on that. So here is where my home is. And this is really where my heart is now, y'all. This is really where my heart is. And I'm so glad I'm not that selfish, self-absorbed, strong-willed, self-seeking asshole I was for years. It's too stupid enough to realize that that's who I really was. All those masks, all that chameleon stuff that I was doing, trying to show y'all who I was, that wasn't who I was. Who I was a scared little boy who didn't really want to grow up. Who I was I still wanted breast milk. Who I was the youngest of 5 kids, who mama gave me everything I ever wanted. Daddy loved me to death, did whatever I said do. I was a spoiled, rotten brat. So So when I came here, all the stuff y'all telling me, I didn't want to do. I didn't come here in denial. I came here in refusal. Denial is when your conscious mind can't accept your reality. I accepted my reality. I thought I was going to die smoking crack. But my refusal was to identify with being an addict, to identify with Narcotics Anonymous, to identify with what it really means to be powerless, what it really means to surrender. Not take the first part of the first step, but the second part of the first step too, because the second part tells me when I think I get my life together, I can handle drugs. What's the rest? Such thoughts and actions land me back to active addiction. So the first and the second part of the first step, that's where it all starts. And the first, second, and third traditions is the foundation for how we interact with each other in the groups and how we keep the unity alive and how we keep our desire real and how we submit to a loving God as He expressed Himself in our group conscience and how we don't let these people try to govern us just because they got a service position. You call it a trusted servant. That means you're supposed to serve our trust. We don't, you're not our boss. You're supposed to serve our trust. That's why we picked you, to have that position, to serve our trust. So, it's just a real good to be here. You know, I really appreciate the committee for asking me because, you know, I'd be thinking that I don't really deserve, you know, to be standing in front of people sharing my experience, strength, and hope because I really, really thought I was supposed to have been dead. And I really, really thought that y'all had this secret meeting about me that chronic relapses are suspect. You know what I mean? We suspect. We can't really give no message. We can't really say, you got to come in the program one time and stay clean the whole rest of your life. And that's a lie, too. But relapse don't have to be part of your story as it was mine. So with that, I'll keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.